Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Switch it in! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Going to try a long hit! What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, on the heels of the Killer Bees and Joel and Jeremy, welcome into Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. As always, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. This week, we're going tonight, we're going tomorrow, best in soccer talk. Remember, I always say self-proclaimed, because we all, I see a lot of people proclaiming a lot of things out there. Self-proclaimed, all right? We got Real Madrid tonight, we got the Rolling Stones, we got Don Carlo, we got the Dynamo, we got Leganes, we got Pachuca, and we got a lot more. By the way, Leganes promoted to Spain's first division. That's Jeff Lunau, Blue Crow Sports Group. That is a windfall in many, many ways. It's a pretty incredible story. They did it again, Real Madrid. We'll get into that tonight. But we're kind of doing a little, what do they call it in football? They call it a, when you don't go to according to the plan, Joel, you do a...
Off script?
Yeah. We're kind of going off script here.
Audible?
Audible. That's the word I was looking for. I knew you'd know it. All right. So Joel Blank staying here with the Killer Bees because he is a basketball guy. And we are going to talk some Caitlin Clark here. And we're going to do a little comparison with Lionel Messi dropping into Major League Soccer and everything. But maybe just, Joel, with your background with the Rockets and everything, just give us your take on Caitlin Clark, what she's doing for the WNBA, and where it kind of looks from your lens.
Yeah, look, I work for the WNBA with the Comets here in town. And you understand that a lot of people would want to kibosh it because it's not the NBA, it's not men's sports, but you had your stars, you had your really, really talented players, and in Houston we were, you know, gifted with three of the best in Swoops, Cooper, and Thompson. But as you look at it, it relates to Caitlin Clark. She has put the league back on a different level. She has taken them to the heights that they've never seen before because of what she was able to do in college, because she's the number one pick. And yes, there's been lots of number one picks before, but not with the kind of accolades, achievements, and the things of Caitlin Clark. But with that comes a target on her back and comes a league that says there's a ton of players that are, or at least a select number of players that have also been number one picks, high picks, have achieved a ton, have won more championships in college in the case of Diana Taurasi. Diana Taurasi was long considered the greatest women's player on the planet for multiple. She's 40 now. On opening night, Glenn, she had 9 threes in a game and no one talked a thing about it because of the fact that Caitlin Clark played. So she took offense to that. My point being, these women have egos. These women have the ability to say, hey, you have to prove yourself on another level now. You did it in college. You got to do it in the pros. So as much as the publicizing everything Caitlin Clark does, and it's great for her, it's great for the league, there are still going to be players within this league that take offense to it, that have an ego that says they feel like they're better than her.
Of course, of course.
So I think that's where you get into a lot of the mucky waters that we're dealing with right now, because the general public just wants to hear Caitlin be the best and wants to anoint her on a pedestal. The league itself has players that say, not so fast. There was the Jordan rules for Michael. LeBron took a punishment when he came into the league.
The only thing I would say to that is I would say, look, you want to be mom and pop or you want to go next level? Okay. You're mom and pop. Okay. People like me are not paying attention to it. Yeah. I know some of the big names of the league. You are fully inundated in basketball, but I represent a unique potential new viewer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I unique which means you're going out of the concentric circle of the small group of people that really love the NBA and are passionate about. Very similar to the NWSL, I think. So you want to keep these people and you want to retain them. And there's no question athletes are going to be competitive and all that. But, man, there is heavy jealousy, I believe.
Sure.
Heavy jealousy. It's all human nature. Heavy jealousy. There is a lot of envy. She's making more money than anybody. And that could possibly be on her own team. So you do want her to succeed. You do want her to compete. She's not going to have a problem
but
competing.
But you can't have these players a competitor. That lay down for her and say, because she scored 3 points against
Nobody's
on Sunday.
Nobody's saying lay down.
So, yeah, I mean, I think
I don't think anybody is laying down.
No, they shouldn't. And that's the point, too. The other point to the point you made, which is something to keep an eye on that I mentioned on our show, which is when she got knocked down by that cheap shot, which was Bush League, when she got knocked down, where were her teammates to come off the bench, 100%. To come down the court, to knock Kennedy back down and basically say, no, not here, not now, not on her.
Yeah.
Instead, they let it happen. That's a miss right there in itself.
That's a problem. So I would say if Lionel Messi, who was dropped down into Major League Soccer, and all of a sudden the world knew who Inter Miami was, well, now we all of a sudden, because of Caitlin Clark, know who the Indiana Fever is, and in another level, the WNBA. Messi had a situation at Inter Miami where it was really thought out and really planned who was going to be around him. Now, it's very, very different in a lot of ways because he's an older man and he's a World Cup winner and he's the current World Cup winner. It's not a 22-year-old who mm-hmm. was the greatest scorer in the history of college basketball, who, by the way, for me, has an incredibly well-rounded, fun game to watch. That's what attracted me. But back to that, do you think the WNBA in Indiana is they've handled this the right way? Because you do want to position her to succeed mm-hmm. because of all the other things that's coming along with her. Increased eyeballs, interest, TV. All of a sudden, you're riding charter planes. I mean,
filling up NBA arenas instead
filling
of
up arenas.
Halfway filling smaller arenas. Look,
imagine being on her team. You're playing in front of 3,000 people, if that, and then all of a sudden she drops down and you're playing in front of 17,000. It's incredible. It's like Messi in Miami, right? All of a sudden you're flying around a young 20-year-old who's on the roster like you're a rock star with the great – arguably the greatest game player in the history of the game.
I honestly think she has handled it better than I would have given her credit for previous to that.
Agree.
Because in college, she flopped. The Ohio State incident where the fan runs onto the floor and after the contact's made, suddenly it looked like she got hit by a sniper and then it was a big deal and then she played it up going to the locker room. In this case, she's toughed it out, which she has to do because she's gaining respect from maybe some of those players that didn't respect her from the jump because of the fact that she isn't anointed a silver spooner. She's not whiny, complainy. She's basically saying,
"Look, that's part of the appeal."
Yeah,
honestly, that to me,
there's
is
more
part
toughness
of the
than I think people thought they were going to see
that
from her.
Kid's tough.
Yeah, so I think that's been great. I think from a league perspective, look, you got to from a marketing perspective. We did this with Yao Ming with the Rockets. And early on, Yao Ming was terrible. I mean, I remember having a conversation with my buddy who was our old PR guy, who was the PR guy for the NBA. I said, you're going to have a real problem on your hands. The starting center for the Western Conference is going to be hot garbage right now because Yao Ming's going to win the vote, and he is awful. And luckily, Yao Ming came into his own and turned into the player that everybody hoped he would be. But from the league's perspective, you still got to market what's marketable. And you have this golden child right now that is going to take, like you said, it's going to reel in.
I don't like Golden Child because I don't think she acts like a golden child.
Doesn't have to act like it, though, Glenn. You have to take
She's a golden goose,
okay,
maybe.
Yes, the golden goose. Your most marketable, your diamond, right? Your shiniest diamond. You have to promote that. And yes, you have to have some luck in the way that she turns out to be who you think she's going to be. But at the same time, you know what she's already done by elevating this league early in the season. You need to maintain that and keep it going in the right direction. So you have to promote her.
Yeah. No question. And, that's where it gets a little whiny because, I mean, it's pretty obvious you have to keep promoting her. I mean, it's like, ladies, don't eat your own. You know what I mean? And I do sometimes, and we're going to play a Charles Barkley quote, who you know very well, Joel. Obviously, he's a
friend
of yours.
Don't tell Jeremy those guys that, but yes.
But you know, if you look at her and the way she's handled herself, I think she's handled herself very well. You make a great point of her teammates not coming to her defense. Now, if somebody's going to call her a flopper, she's on the ball more than anybody. She makes more decisions than anybody. She's trying things that others don't. That's what makes her an appealing player to me. And by the way, being a flopper is sometimes that's a defense mechanism. It's the same thing in soccer. Look. So if you're talking about Caitlin Clark, I would just say this. There has been no woman in that league who even comes close to the scrutiny and the pressure that this 22-year-old college player has had in a brief time in the NBA after a small break from college basketball.
And you use the right term, Glenn, because it's not even about the ego-driven. It is the jealousy. Because if you look at what Angel Reese did and the fact that she literally got called out for getting off the bench to applaud the fact that her teammate gave a cheap shot to this female that she knows very well from their college days. Well, the reason why she's standing up applauding, which she'll never admit, is because she took the throne from her. Because the year before Caitlin Clark did what she did at Iowa in her final season, we were talking about Angel Reese. We were talking about an NCAA championship. We were talking about a girl who changed the landscape of college basketball because LSU was at a certain level. And then Caitlin Clark came in and said, basically, I got you back. I got revenge. I broke all these records. I am there now. She wants to be where Caitlin Clark is. So the jealousy factor is what's fueling all of this from her standpoint.
Increased eyeballs, interest. Like I said, unique fans, which, you know, listen, all sports want unique fans. Mm-hmm. They don't want to just play to the same group of people all the time. You've got to get outside of that. And this is the watershed moment for the WNBA and women's sports. Attendance through the roof, as Joel said. Real TV ratings, sellouts, moves to bigger arenas. Click of the fingers, you're flying charter.
And by the way, that's the league has been trying to get done for years. Yeah. They owe that to her because that's one of the only reasons why they got it done this year.
Yeah, yeah. So it's an interesting thing. I want to talk to you about her as a player, though, because that's what fascinates me. Penetrator, right? The three, obviously, like Curry, which that's been altered a bit. She's now figuring out the league. I love her passing ability, and she's smart.
Have talked about this previously in text messages, but the bottom line is Kennedy was so far wrong when she sent out her tweet about the fact that what big deal, she can shoot threes and that's it.
That's the dumbest sports quote I've ever heard from an athlete.
No question. You look at her overall game and you look at what she's averaging, no matter what she scores points night in, night out, she's averaging 5 to 6 assists, 5 to 6 rebounds. She's getting steals. She's not like a Curry where you expose her on defense, but she's not the greatest defense. She doesn't have to be. And then what she does dynamically by not only being a great teammate, getting her teammates involved, but her ability to shoot it from anywhere on the court makes her one of the most unique weapons that we see in any one given sport, giving her ability to do so much.
Yeah.
And off the floor, she's carrying it.
Talking to Joel Blank, Killer Bees, they're always on before us. You'll hear when you're in your car a story today that'll include you from my Uber driver. It's pretty funny.
Okay.
It's pretty funny. But, I love she can pick the pass out. The length of the court passes with two hands, hitting somebody that's, you know, headmanned up front. I mean, it's fun stuff. This is exciting. And you kind of feel a little bit that, you know, this is a great watershed moment for this league, you know, and –
Well, Glenn, you don't ruin it with
jealousy and pettiness. And yeah, I think we're all tired of that kind of stuff.
We are, but they love the drama. They think the drama is selling it too, which is why the WNBA is allowing it to happen. But you and I were talking about it during the Final Four. Most players that are just average or aren't ready for the next level when it comes to professional, when they have a bad game, they have a bad game. When she had a bad game in college against South Carolina, she still had 20-some-odd points, carried her team to being into a game they had no business being in against the best team in the country. Because of her.
And you know what? I kind of compare it to Messi. They're both creators, right? They both get dropped into these teams and absolutely change the entire landscape
of the league.
Yeah. I mean, look at, you know, and listen, you got people complaining about Inter Miami. Oh, they get all the breaks and stuff with Lionel Messi. Yeah, sure they do. And you want to know something else? Every single owner said, let's bring him to the league because we're all going to benefit from it. The WNBA, ladies, get it together, man. This is all good. Compete, do all that. She can handle that. But, man, this is a watershed moment, I think.
And this isn't that's the thing that everybody misses on, too. The fact that the people that are saying this have seen the majority of her games to know she's taken a cheap shot in almost every game.
Yeah.
That's what's happening.
Oh, she's getting picked up earlier than in college, right?
Well, but she's also getting a lot of elbows and a lot of physicality and knockdown and things like that. She's getting singled out. She's still excelling. Yeah, the New York game was 3 points. But let's look at the body of work.
Well, she left the game, right? I think it really.
Yeah, she's top three in three of the four offensive categories that are the most in points.
She's got 15 points a game, 5 rebounds, 6 assists. Only 2 players have done that over their first 10 WNBA games as a rookie.
Yeah, I don't think she's going to be a bust.
No. Is she on a bad team?
Yeah. Aaliyah Boston was,
you said it, not
and
me.
Aaliyah Boston was the number one pick a year ago from the best team, and
she's
not
doing
anything.
Virgin Islands, Aaliyah. I just came from the Virgin Islands. There's a picture of her at the airport.
She and Tim Duncan.
Yeah, that's right.
How about that?
Was a swimmer, by the way.
Yes, he was.
All right, Joel, great stuff.
Always a pleasure,
this was
my
fun.
Friend.
This was a lot of
Paisan,
fun.
Paisan, always free.
This could be the greatest segment in the history of Soccer Matters, and it wasn't even about soccer. I'm going to take it on a little messy and Caitlin comparison a little bit more in the next segment. All right, Joel, great stuff. Thank you so much for your additional time staying here. I know you need to get home, and we appreciate Joel coming on. Hey, quick word here. Copa America this summer. We put out something from Johan Mojica, who's the left back for Colombia. The U.S. will be playing Colombia 4:30 Central Time on Saturday from FedEx in Maryland. We're getting ready for this thing. We got to come into Houston. By the way, I think we will have them. Don't quote me here, but I think I will have Brazil tickets tomorrow night to give away. All right, this is the Police Voices Inside My Head. You go to LSSE.net for Copa America tickets, LSSE.net, or you listen to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Tuzos, Rey Salomón recibe, contacta, la mete abajo, cerca del rinconcito, papá, hace el tercero, el Rey Salomón haciendo su gol 9 en el torneo, golazo 3-0.
El Pato Bermudez on the call. I wish they played this last night. By the way, I was at the Rolling Stones concert in Orlando. Got up early for an early flight. I'm a little raw. I'm just being honest. This song is called Love is Strong. That was from Voodoo Lounge. My friends at Cactus Music will be happy that I'm talking about a little bit of music here. We're doing it all on this show. We are a soccer show, though. All right, it's a beautiful team. Maybe not Indiana Fever right now, but they're trying to work towards that. But you heard the goal call there. That was Solomon Rondon scoring the third goal. He had the first off for Pachuca over the Columbus Crew. Pachuca's going to the FIFA Club World Cup. It's going to be expanded next year. It was too bad. Everybody was pulling for Columbus. And it's kind of too bad that they, you know, they actually had a really good chance in the first minute of the game. And they had a chance to get back in it and make it 2-1, but this was pretty much Pachuca. And, you know, some people were saying, well, they're off for 3 weeks. Yeah, sometimes a layoff's good. In this case, it was pretty good. They looked pretty sharp. They looked very ready to play. Imagine Solomon Rondon as the 9 for the Dynamo, Guillermo.
It's funny because I was like, when I was watching Pachuca,
I was thinking the same.
If we could have somebody like that on the Dynamo, that would be amazing.
A handful that would occupy center backs, right?
He's got the experience.
He's 34, but so what? You would want him for a year or two to try and win an MLS Cup, right? Trying to get Pat Onstad on again, and I want to do, you know, sometimes when you're doing a one-segment interview, you do have to give the person you're interviewing, and Pat is very gracious, the platform. And you don't want to come back with another question after an answer always, because you just don't have the time.
And I want to drill deeper down on the type of striker they're looking for. And I mean down to the nuances of, is it a back-to-goal guy? You know, is it a pressing forward that needs the ball in front of him? You know, I really want to do a deep dive on that and then, you know, get into a little bit more of the three or four differing signings they're going to make. I mean, they can't all be high-profile signings, obviously. We do want to get Pat back on the show again. Dynamo 2-2 with Portland. We'll get into that. We're also going to get into the Champions League again. But I want to dovetail off Joel coming on the show here. And by the way, when I was on my way back from the airport today, first of all, as everybody knows, like when you go to Energy, it's a nightmare getting an Uber after these things. So my game plan is always, I'm just going to keep walking. They said, oh, there's some rough neighborhoods, be careful. And I'm like, nah, there's police everywhere. I'm walking it with my buddy from New Jersey who met me there. And we've been to Stone shows a lot. So we're walking. We go by Orlando City Stadium, you know, the MLS team, and also the home of the Orlando Pride. Beautiful stadium. And then you come to the Citrus Bowl. So we walked in, and as I'm walking in, I remind myself, geez, I played for a team called the Albany Capitals against the Orlando Lions in the Citrus Bowl, which is now something else. I don't know. Oh, it's a camping ground stadium or something. I also called a game in there, too. Actually scored in there. Of course, there was 75,000 less people at the game I played in there. It was pretty much an empty giant stadium. But anyway, I then went on to do a game for ESPN. It was a national broadcast. And it was when Tally Hall was traded from the Dynamo to Orlando, and they had Kaká, and they had the purple thing going. They had these magnets, and they were still playing in there. They didn't have their stadium yet. And Tally Hall on that day, I think there was 45,000 people there. It was incredible. Tally Hall had a great day. They beat the LA Galaxy, if my memory serves me. And yeah, so, you know, you go in that stadium and, you know, not throwing myself in the category of the Rolling Stones. But anyway, it was a great concert. So you walk and you keep walking to get as far away from the stadium as you can so that it's a little easier to get an Uber. And it took a while. So it really was a night of only 4 hours of sleep because up at 5:30. So we're working our way through this one. By the way, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Your thoughts on Real Madrid, your thoughts on Caitlin Clark. What do you think about what she's doing for the league? What do you think about Lionel Messi for the league? There are some naysayers out there who don't like the fact that they think that Inter Miami have gotten some breaks because of Lionel Messi. And you want to know something? Your owners all signed off on this. Okay, in the league, because they all know it benefits everybody in the structured league that MLS is. Guillermo, I ask you about Inter Miami. Do you like or not like the contrived nature of, okay, Messi's there, then Suarez, now we're talking about Angel Di Maria coming there. There is a bit of a contrived feel to it, but they also did everything to help make him succeed, which is very different than Caitlin Clark in the WNBA, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as a Barca fan myself, it's like rewatching these past years of all these players playing and stuff like that. And as much as I like that they're all together playing again, I really do think it's unfair. At least it really looks unfair, you know, compared versus the other organizations, the other clubs, like in the league. I can't help but think that it's unfair. I understand that.
What do you mean by unfair? That they're breaking cap rules?
Yes.
Or okay,
the cap rules and all these players. I understand that they're Messi's friends, and it's a storyline. I understand everything, but I can't help but think that it's not fair.
Well, there is some information out there, but you know, if MLS was maybe a little bit more transparent, I think it would help all of us. But there are a lot of people in other markets. Oh, this is not fair. You know, Inter Miami gets to do whatever they want. It's Beckham. It's Jorge Mas. They're tied in. Messi's a big part of the Apple deal. Yeah, you know. So, I mean, that's professional sports these days. So let's compare a little bit Caitlin Clark to Leo Messi. Both are taking their leagues to differing heights. There's no question. One is a 22-year-old just out of college. The other is a mature man with a family, and he is the current World Cup holder for Argentina. and he's obviously a lot more global, but they're both doing a lot from the standpoint of exposure, ticket sales, global awareness. You know, I mean, that's more in the case of Messi. Nobody knew who Inter Miami was around the world. Also, in his own way, Messi is bringing unique fans to MLS, you would think. I don't know how we quantify that, but he's bringing unique fans to Major League Soccer that are simply tuning in to watch him, just like Caitlin Clark and me. Oh, yeah, I know Diana Taurasi. I know Sue Bird. I know the names, but I wasn't a regular watcher of the WNBA, and I remember all the Comets, like Cynthia Cooper and all of them. But that was mom and pop, as good as they are. I mean, they're great players. They're people that are pioneering. I mean, those players I would call pioneers. Because as much as the Comets were great, they were the dominant team, and they had the three best players in the league, pretty much. This is different. This is providing you a watershed moment to have an opportunity where you can platform the game in a different direction. As far as that foul from that player, I can't remember what was her name again. She's had a history of doing stuff like that. That happens in sports. That has nothing to do with physical play, by the way, for people that texted me. It's not physical play. It's stupid play. It's dumb play. It's called a lack of emotional control, which is a part of sports. So that's just a dumb play. So, look, they're both creators. They're both scorers. They do a variety of things. Clark has become a national sensation. Everybody's weighing in on her, even me. And listen, I'm only doing it from a standpoint. I was a professional soccer player. It's just my opinion. I got Joel in here because he's more of a basketball guy with his history. So Messi came in, and he had all kinds of support, right? We're going to bring in all the right people around him. We're bringing in his friend Suarez. He can still play. We're bringing in Jordi Alba. We're bringing in Busquets, right? And then we're going to bring in Tata Martino, the coach, who also Messi is very comfortable with. We're going to Miami. There was a lot of thought put into this. Let's just leave it at that. A lot of thought. He's selling tickets like crazy, just like Caitlin Clark is doing. And like I said, the world didn't know Inter Miami, and many of us did not know Indiana Fever, quite frankly, and much of the WNBA. It's been mom and pop from the standpoint, that's not a negative thing, from the standpoint of where it is to where it could potentially go now with what she's doing with the awareness and the attention. And it is pulling in those like me that are intrigued by a singular player. And the singular player that's a creator, a dribbler, a passer, who's running the court, who's not a big center underneath a basket, to me is more appealing. It's just like Messi. He's a playmaker. It's more appealing than the target man to me in a lot of ways. It's not the same for everybody. And that's not downplaying anybody else. But now it's the opportunity for us to learn about other players in the WNBA. But, geez, the jealousy, that's just it's detestable. I mean, my God. Enjoy it. And compete against her as hard as you can because she can handle it. But no player in the history of the WNBA, I'm going to repeat this again, has ever been as scrutinized both on and off the court like Caitlin Clark. And there's always going to be ex-players that are going to feel like they are the pillars of the league, and they are, and they did a lot to pioneer it, but there's always more that are going to keep coming. And they should be the ones that celebrate it more than anybody. And they've had to walk it back a little bit. They were a little bit too aggressive. And when you get $28 million from Nike, that'll sting people that feel they've helped build the league, which it's all about timing, you know? If I came at a different time and it was a part of MLS, might have been different. Like all those guys in that era and my era. We're not envious. We are a little jealous of the infrastructure and the stadiums and the care of the athletes. No problem. But we're all for the players continuing to get more and more and more and keep building the pro game. I don't think there's any question to that. It's a little harder to be critical of Messi because he's a World Cup holder and he's not a 22-year-old. She's the all-time leading scorer in the history of the college game. She's thrust into a huge spotlight. By the way, you also might want to thank her for all the stuff she's done off the field and all these appearances or off the court. Saturday Night Live, all this stuff. Yeah, it's exciting for her. It's got to be a drag, too. I mean, at this point, let's hope she can get refreshed. The team can get better. I asked Joel if it's a good team. He called it a bad team. That's what happens when, you know, you get the first pick. You're generally not going to a great team. On the other hand, Messi's going there with a bunch of guys that have won Champions League and World Cups. So it's a little bit different. And there are some that are not fans of Messi in America and the conditions given to Inter Miami. But don't forget, again, I'll say it again, the owners all bought into it for investment reasons. No question. But the beautiful thing is here, two great athletes. We get to witness them. All the boats are going to rise with the tide. There's increased eyeballs. And like I said, it's unique fans that are hard to get. Yes, you have to take care of your loyal fans, but you also have to get outside of that. Stunning schedule, too, for Indiana, by the way. I think 11 games in 20 days or something. It's just insanity. I mean, but the perpetrators of the race baiting and all that stuff for the purposes of building up their profiles on social media, I find that just absolutely abhorrent and disgusting. I really do. And everyone has to be mindful of competitive players with passion, and they will go over the top in sports. But you also want the element of sportsmanship in there. You do. I don't know if you want to be exactly like the NBA if you're the WNBA, quite frankly. I don't know. I just had a friend on the way here tell me, I don't watch the NBA. These guys are all friends. It doesn't feel competitive. Players will always go over the top through frustration, lack of discipline, lack of emotional control. It's part of the game, whether that happened with Caitlin Clark or others. It's just part of the game. But that was the focus by the media. That was kind of too bad that it was just simply that clip. And maybe that is good for the league. Maybe that's how people want to market it. I don't know. I prefer to focus on the athletes and what they can do. And by the way, she was a passing machine in that game. A lot of other good things happened in that game, but nobody focused on it. And by the way, imagine the assists she'd have if her teammates were knocking down shots. So it's a story. It's one you watch. You continue to watch her handle it. She's been frustrated too. But for the most part, I think she's doing A-plus work. And can you imagine if you're on Indiana or Inter Miami and all of a sudden you got Caitlin Clark and you guys are going around like rock stars playing to full arenas? Or you're Lionel Messi, you're somebody on Inter Miami, and all of a sudden you're going around the globe like rock stars. All right. Front Office Sports has said this WNBA season, six different networks have already shattered viewership records for the WNBA. And you want to know something? Caitlin Clark played in all but one of those games. Be thankful she's in your league. Taking a break. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. We'll come back with the Theater of the Bizarre. We're going to get into the Real Madrid winning the UEFA Champions League again for the 15th time. Are you kidding me? Doubling everybody. Take a break. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Quick word here for Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture. Danish Inspirations, my house is full of that furniture. Got the Stressless, got an incredible couch that opens up. You could put a family on there if you wanted to. If you love modern contemporary furniture, then you just head over and you see Jan Christensen and Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture, danishinspirations.com. You keep me hanging on. This is Vanilla Fudge coming back. Great mix of music here tonight, as always. All right. Quick story here. On the way back from the airport today in Uber, older gentleman, he hears me on the phone talking to somebody about radio and the show tonight and some of the plans for it. And he tells me, oh, yeah, yeah, listen to 97.5. And I said, oh, that's good. It's a great station. We got a lot of good guys. I go, do you listen to The Killer Bees with Joel and Jeremy? He goes, yeah. Yeah, I listen to that, and I, you know, listen throughout the day, whatever times I'm driving, but a lot of times I'm driving. His name was Bill, by the way. So, Bill, if you're listening, shout out to you. I don't know if I'm telling the story correctly or not. But then Bill goes, yeah, there's this really smart, intelligent guy who does a soccer show. Smart and intelligent. Okay, let's hope I have a little bit of that. But it was pretty funny, and I said, well, you know, I am that guy. That's what I was talking about on the phone, so... Got a big kick out of that. He was laughing. It took me a minute for him to kind of realize that it was the soccer host in the back. But he told me he always listened to Killer Bees with Joel and Jeremy. And that's how we get a lot of unique listeners on this show, that they will then, all right, let's listen a little bit about soccer. And you might win some over and you might not. I know I've won a lot over the years because I've had people send me or DM me that they bought tickets to a Dynamo game or they went to an international game or, you know, all of a sudden now they're going to a pub to watch games with people. So it's a great, great story. All right, let's get into, and we got to get flying here on this. Let's get into the Champions League and let's talk about Real Madrid and what they did. I mean, this is pretty incredible stuff. They did it again, 15th time to win the Champions League. No one is even close. Real Madrid, frankly, they were outplayed by Dortmund for me up until the goal. And you can say they didn't play well, or you can also give a big, big compliment to what Dortmund did. But then Dani Carvajal scores off a Toni Kroos corner. This makes it 1-0.
Kroos. Forced on it in! It's Carvajal! Dani Carvajal! The smallest man in the penalty area has headed Real Madrid into the lead. It's only the second Champions League goal of his entire career. It's record-equaling career in this competition.
By the way, small men can head in goals, by the way. And if you go back to that play, Kroos' delivery is perfect, and it's hit hard. And Carvajal's in front of a defender that's bigger than him, but he gets ahead to it. And, you know, he's kind of a symbol of the team. He's survived. He has kept and remained a starter through a bevy of managers. He's something else. And it's great, you know, that he scores that goal. Vinicius Jr. in the 83rd minute seals it.
Bellingham. This is Vinicius Jr. White gold. He was the match winner 2 years ago in Paris. He's the match sealer tonight for Real Madrid. The legend continues. They haven't even played well tonight, but they're going to win the Champions League yet again.
Yeah, sometimes we go overboard on they didn't play well, but we also know they're the ultimate winners, and they win games when they don't play well. And you do have to really give Dortmund a lot of praise for the way they played that game. Unlucky not to score. They needed to score during their best times. They didn't. And, you know, you just kept getting the feeling. The more that time went on relative to score and them not scoring, you felt that, okay, well, ultimately something's going to happen here in Real Madrid's going to win, and they did. Here's Ancelotti on managing this year's squad.
Really happy for sure. Really difficult game, as usual. They played better in the first half. We played better second half. But the final is like this. We were able to win. It was a fantastic season. Of course, the quality of the player, the fact that the club is a family, we have a fantastic environment. We are working all together without problem. The atmosphere is really good in the dressing room, and I honestly have to say thanks to my club, of course, but also the player. Not a big ego, really humble. It was not difficult to manage this squad this season.
Interesting. Very humble. But you know what? He's the ultimate deflector, because the coach is ultimately also a part of that humility by the container and sort of the culture that he builds. That's 5 Champions League titles for him, I believe, as a manager now. Is that right? The only person to do that? Unbelievable. I love Carlo Ancelotti. I read his biography. In the biography, every chapter has something about food. He loves food. But, you know, when you talk about him as a player for Milan, for Italy, and now, yeah, just managerial stratosphere unmatched. Incredible stuff. Toni Kroos, ultimate connector in this game. Completed 91 of 94 passes. It's incredible. Carvajal becomes the 4th defender in Real Madrid history in a Champions League final. He joins Marquitos in 1956, Sergio Ramos, Marcelo, and Ramos again in 2016. Now, I'm not a big fan of XG. I mentioned in our preview, set pieces in transition would be key for Dortmund. They had a superior XG, of course, if you watch the game, meaning they had more chances. But, you know, a lot of times XG doesn't take into account a guy that gets to the end line, cuts across the face of goal. That's why I don't like it. Real Madrid are not the best at pressing teams, but they seem to press in the latter stages of games. And they're pretty effective on the repress, obviously. Goal kicks. But, man, they just win. They just win. Dortmund's fate was sealed, I think, not being able to finish and taking advantage of superior play during that time. Mendy, Camavinga, I thought had good games. Carvajal, I mean, he's now started in 6 Champions League finals. It's crazy. I mean, this is not even... and they went after him in the first half in the space behind him, Danny Carvajal. Then he comes up with the header. Vinicius has to be considered the top player in the world now based on talent's performance and results. That's the Ballon d'Or winner, I think. Courtois made the saves when he needed to. So there's a lot of takeaways. You might have some. Real Madrid only lost 2 games this year. And believe it or not, it was both to Atletico Madrid. I think one was in the Copa del Rey. But they win the La Liga by 10 points over Barcelona. Future looks bright going into the season. Remember, it was Barcelona who won La Liga last year. And so it all flipped. So Vinicius, Valverde, Tchouaméni, Camavinga, Bellingham, all the nucleus of this team in the future gets scarier now because Kylian Mbappe is coming there. Now, one interesting thing is he likes playing on the left as an inverted winger, cutting in on his right. Well, so does Vinicius. So that's going to be interesting to see how that all works out. But that's the typical champagne problem, I think. You have to go back, and in the context of what I just said, think of the timing of when they sold Cristiano Ronaldo and they still got real value for him. This was smart. This was a stroke of brilliance by Florentino Perez. From the balance sheet perspective, and that's always tricky, selling stars before their shelf life, right? Or their use-by date. It's tricky financially. It's tricky emotionally. It's tricky when it comes to your fan base. But that investment was put into now a bunch of long-serving youth you're going to have. Hosolu, you know, came up with the big game. They've also got the young Turkish kid, Guler. They're going to get other people. Their current squad value is $1.1 billion, only topped by Man City and Arsenal. Ponder that for a second. $1.1 billion, the value of their roster, when thinking of MLS and rosters and a cap of $4.9 million. And then when you say that, you got to say, you know what? MLS puts a pretty darn good product on the field for that. You really do. You have to give people credit. We're putting these teams together, I would say. Dynamo. Sebastian Kovalchuk scored for his 2nd straight game in a row. Let's take a listen to his goal in the 8th minute. Made it 1-0 in Portland.
Hector Herrera. Near post ball. Kovalchuk in the 6. Sweeping
So what kind of player is Sebastian Kovalchuk? He's an incredibly hard worker. He's now got two goals in two games. He's playing as a false nine. He's busy. He's pressing. He's the type of player Ben Olsen likes. But that's not going to stop us from saying this team needs a striker. But I'll tell you what, if you talk about an effort, and I did an interview with Sebastian. I really like him. I think he's a wonderful guy. He's an incredibly competitive soccer player. He really wants to make his mark in Major League Soccer. I think it's really, really evident there. And he's making it his own right now. It's hard to keep him off the field based on the roster right now. Felipe Mora, 37th minute, ties it up.
Sliding it through for Rodriguez. Rodriguez barreling down a goal across from one, and it's a tap-in. Oh!
Let's go to Coco Karaskis. So, you know, as much as I've said on the show, we're not getting goals out of Coco, Sebastian, Amin Bassi. Well, this was a game you did get him. And Coco got one here in the 50th minute.
Gives possession back to Houston. Herrera.
Oh.
For Coco Karaskia.
Karaskia! Fires it in! Houston reclaimed the lead in hostile territory.
I think that was the one Hector made the great pass. Split like three or four guys. Hector Herrera. Just an incredible ball. Fogaccia would equalize in the 76th minute, and then they would put more pressure on the Dynamo, but the Dynamo would get out of there with a point.
Evander knows how to pick out a target. He'll attempt to here. That's a very good ball! And there you have it! A cheap foul!
Ben Olsen post-match.
Keeping them off the board is very, very difficult. Their trend is they're going to score on you, but you also can score them. So I think the game overall could have went either way. They certainly have a few chances. We obviously get the third that we thought we had, which is disappointing. And we're a little bit disappointed that we had the lead twice, gave that back to them. And so that part has to get a little bit better. But overall, as far as a long week to come out here, we went to L.A. and back, took the home game. Then we went to here and back to Portland. That's a lot of travel. And so I'm really proud of the guys and the way they hung in there and fought tonight.
Yeah, so ends up 2-2. That's two multi-goal games in a row for the Dynamo. That's good. Hopefully they can keep going on a run here. They don't play until Saturday, June 15th. They go to Atlanta, who just fired the head coach, Gonzalo Pineda. Here's Ben Olsen speaking on Sebastian Kovalchuk.
He was a warrior tonight. Again, he's not the biggest guy. You know, he's feisty, can collect the ball and help us relieve pressure. And he's doing a better job of, you know, learning how to be at times a more traditional nine. Every game he gets a little more comfortable in there and finds the relationships and also then finds ways to manufacture opportunities. And he did that tonight. So he's growing in that role.
Ben called him, he's a little guy and feisty. Ben was kind of describing himself. That's what everybody liked about Ben Olsen, that he was very, very feisty, aggressive player, talented. And you know what? A lot of times coaches love players that sort of mirror the way they played the game.
2 minutes.
No question about it. All right, one more from Ben Olsen, the Dynamo manager, on tactically managing the team throughout the game.
They pressed us pretty high, and they did a good job of it. I thought the first half we just didn't get into the structure enough. We didn't threaten behind. We didn't stretch them in the back, and it made it very easy for them to press us. Part of that was the profiles we had on there, mixing up the lineups and making sure we were more maybe pragmatic in transition or in the defensive end to clear up some holes that they like to jump into. And sometimes it worked. Sometimes I thought it cost us some possession. So I'll take blame for that. But then we went after in the second half. I think guys, well, we started to press a little bit better. We started to, I think, force them back with some wide play. And overall, you know, I mean, threatened them, and I thought the second half was much better.
All right, I'm going to leave you tonight with this. Let's take a listen to Charles Barkley and his comments on the WNBA.
You women out there,
Oh, Penny, man. Hey, LeBron, you're 100% right on these girls hating on Caitlin Clark. Y'all petty, girls. I expect men to be petty because we're the most insecure group in the world.
You are.
Y'all should be thanking that girl for getting y'all ass private charters, all the money and visibility she bring into the WNBA. Don't be petty like dudes. Listen, what she's accomplished, give her her flowers. Stop being petty, all you women out there. She got y'all ass charters. She bringing all y'all this money to the table for y'all being petty like dudes. LeBron, you are 100% right. Y'all girls, stop being petty. Caitlin Clark, thank you for bringing all that money and shine to the WNBA.
All right, that's going to do it tonight. Big thanks to Guillermo Lazo Romero, producing as usual. Hey, by the way, we're back tomorrow. I got some interviews I'm working on. I can't announce them yet. Tomorrow we'll have some tickets to give away. I want to thank you very much for tuning in here tonight and checking out the podcast at Spotify, Google, and Apple, or right here at ESPN975.com. Thanks to Joel Blank for sitting in that first segment with me. I appreciated that. That was fun conversation because, after all, radio is fun, soccer is fun, and you know what? You got to do what Chuck said. Y'all stop being petty out there. All of you, stop being petty, no matter who you are. All right, tomorrow night, Soccer Matters, ESPN975. T-shirts, hats to benefit the 501c charity Snowdrop Foundation. LamontBrands.com, LamontBrands.com. Till tomorrow night at 6 o'clock Central Time, I'm Glenn Davis. Good night, everyone.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.